Lux Radio Theatre. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theatre presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama.
Lame Dogs in the Living Room.
Wonderful, Anne.
She tried lots and lots of the girls, but I got it.
I'm so pleased. I know how you've worked for it.
I've been longing to tell you all day.
I thought about you lunchtime when I knew they were having auditions for it.
Did you? Oh, Daddy.
Is your mother in?
Yes, Mummy's in the living room.
Alone?
Yes, for one. She's writing a letter. She even let me do my homework in there by the fire. Oh, I wish I could do it there every night.
But you like having your own little room, don't you?
Yes, of course I do. But, well, I get sort of lonely there sometimes. Especially when Robert's late coming back from school. He's out now having tea with a friend. Oh, Daddy, you are cold. Come to the living room, get warm.
Good idea. It is nippy.
Daddy's home, Mummy.
Oh, hello, Paul.
Hello, Francis. Oh, that fire looks good. Nobody coming tonight? You've usually got someone here when I arrive home. What's happened?
Oh, Alan's coming later.
Oh, is he?
Shall I pour you a drink, Daddy?
Thanks, darling. I need one.
Nice big one.
Ah, bless you. Well, Francis, what do you think of our having a budding actress in the family?
I don't know what you're talking about.
But Anne, haven't you told your mother?
Oh, well, no. Mummy's been so busy.
Well, what is it? What happened?
They had auditions for the school play today, and Anne's got a leading part.
Oh, well done, Anne. What's this?
King John.
Oh, good heavens. I wonder why they always do Shakespeare at your school, and usually pick plays with all male casts. Oh, it's ridiculous in a girl's school. Oh, what part have you got?
I'm Arthur, the prince.
Oh, this pen's run dry. Oh, where's the ink? I distinctly remember leaving the ink on this desk. Now, where has it gone?
It's all right, Mummy. Yeah. I used it when I was doing my homework. Here you are.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't move things, dear. I like to know exactly where they are.
Sorry?
Oh, darling, don't breathe down my neck when I'm trying to write a letter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tell us something more about the part, Prince Arthur.
Oh, it's a fabulous part. First, I nearly had my eyes burned out with a hot iron. Then I jumped off the top of the castle and I chew myself.
And I think you'd better finish your homework upstairs. It'll be quieter for you.
Oh, all right. Can I come down again when I finish?
No, no, please don't. I've got someone coming.
Oh, you've always got someone coming. I'll go upstairs now, out of the way.
What's the matter with her tonight?
That play means a lot to her. She wanted to talk about it.
Well, she wanted to talk about it. She could have told me earlier.
You don't encourage her very much, Francis, do you?
You're too sentimental over her, so maybe that's a good thing. Now, I simply must finish this letter or I'll miss the post. Do you mind waiting 10 minutes or so before we eat?
Not at all. I shall sit here quite happily and drink myself into a stupor.
Well, don't drink it all in case Alan wants some.
There's not a bottle in the cupboard. I'm tired. I had no idea life would be so hectic when I put myself on this legal panel thing. No wonder some solicitors opted out. I always seem to have acute clients waiting. Pathetic cases, some of them. There was an old girl today...
Oh, darling, tell me later. I can't concentrate.
Sorry.
There. That's done.
Want a stamp?
No, I've got one, thanks. I've been writing to David Lee. He's miserable at that boarding school for a little boy.
Little? He's 14, same age as Robert.
But David's full of problems since his parents were divorced. Our Robert has no care in the world. I'll just slip out to post this letter. Shall be long. Oh, it's fine, back, Robert, now. Leave the door open, Robert. I'm just going out.
Okay.
Enjoying the tea party?
Yes, it was super. We were celebrating. Mum, you'll never guess what happened.
Oh, darling, not now. I must catch the post.
What were you celebrating, Robert?
Harry Baker's broken leg.
What's so jolly about that? Oh, wait a minute. He's in the school rugger team, isn't he?
Yes, and I'm first reserve. So it means I'll be playing in the match on Saturday.
Talk about one man's meat. Congratulations.
My first match. You'll come and watch, won't you?
We'll all come and watch. Oh, this is quite a red letter day. Anne's got a part in the play, by the way.
Well, good old Anne. She must be jolly good. We're a very distinguished family, are we not?
We are indeed.
Oh, well, it's begun. We spend our lives answering the door or the phone in this house. Mum's got more hangers on than a charm bracelet.
Don't answer, Robert.
I'll be able to do a job as a door opener one day. All the practice I get. Hi, Letta.
Hello, Robert. Is your mother in?
No, but Dad is. Dad, it's Letta.
Oh. Good evening, Mr. Gerard.
Hello, Netta. I say you're looking very dashing in those trousers.
Father thinks they're terrible. But at the moment, I couldn't care less what he thinks. After all, I am 17.
Oh, almost a woman.
Robert, it's about time you did your homework.
Oh, no, not tonight. Not when I'm in the rabbit team.
Homework.
I'll report you to the cruelty to children office. That's what I'll do. History.
History's your pet subject, isn't it, Netta?
Did Mrs. Gerard tell you?
Yes. She said you want to go to university to study history.
Father's against it. He wants me to go into his office. Imagine spending the rest of one's life in a builder's office. I'd go mad. But Mrs. Gerard's going to help me. Oh, is that her?
I expect so.
Hello, Netta. How lovely to see you. And how smart you look.
This is my fighting father, I say.
Silly child. Did you tell him I'm coming to see him tomorrow night?
Yes. Actually, I came to show you this. Mm-hmm. It's a book I bought at a second-hand store at the lunch hour. Biography of Charles I, marked down to 15 cents. Imagine.
It's a bargain.
I'd like to write biographies myself one day.
And so you shall. All you'll need is encouragement in the right direction. And when I've spoken to your father... Oh, Paul, you're still waiting for your supper, aren't you? But, darling, would you mind foraging in the kitchen? The time simply flew in, and Alan will be here any minute.
What about you?
Oh, I shan't have time to eat.
Oh, poor Mr. Gerard.
That's all right, Netta. You stay and talk to Francis.
Oh, I'm in the way.
No, you're not. Now, come and sit by the fire.
Oh, why are you so good to me?
No, I'm not particularly.
You are. I mean, well, when we met at that ghastly school function, that old pupil's reunion, and I was handing round buns and tea to the guests. Well, you'd never seen me before in your life. It came right over and sort of took charge of me. Why did you?
Well, there was obviously something worrying you.
You understand people so well. I felt hopeless and depressed, but you've changed all that. You've no idea how grateful I...
Oh, Anne, what do you want?
The doctor.
Oh, what on earth for?
I'm helping my father, Prince Arthur. Oh, Robert won't tell me to my eyes. You'll help me. Lucky, Anne.
What?
Having you for a mother. I can't remember my own mother. I was only a baby when she died. But if anyone said to me, choose a mother, out of the whole world, I'd choose you.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Netta, but you mustn't idealize me. I'm a perfectly ordinary woman.
Oh, no, you're not. You help people. You know when they're in difficulties and you help them. You must have been a marvelous teacher. It was a shame you had to stop it.
Oh, I had my own family to bring up.
You liked teaching, didn't you?
Well, parts of it. I liked trying to turn geese into swans.
The world must be bursting with grateful ex-pupils. Who was that one who rushed up to us at the bun fight? She said how grateful she was to you, how you changed her life. Who was she?
I'm not sure.
But you must have known her awfully well for her to feel like that.
Well, I couldn't remember her. Is that a crime?
No. No, of course not. Oh, will that be your visitor?
I expect so.
Hello, Alan. Come in.
Evening, Paul.
Go straight through the living room, will you? Francis,
then. Alan, look, come on in.
Hello, Francis.
Well, I'd better be off. Good night, Mrs. Gerard. See you at home tomorrow night.
Good night, Netta, dear.
Good night.
Lovely to see you, Alan. Come and get warm. Oh, close the door first, will you?
But it isn't Paul.
No, he's having something to eat in the kitchen. We're all rather topsy-turvy tonight.
Ah.
Any luck in the job hunting?
No, I still belong to the sad grey ranks of the unemployed.
You're feeling awful, oh, I am sorry.
I don't know, I'd have got through today if I hadn't known I was coming here tonight.
Oh, poor Alan, I knew.
When I woke up this morning, in fact it's the same every morning when I wake, I've forgotten. Then I remember. It's like a knockout blow. I lie there thinking. It's true, it really happened. My business is ruined, my career finished. And I can hardly bear to get up and face the day. It's the contrast, you see, Francis. After being my own boss, king of my own small kingdom. Now, suddenly, having to go around, cap in hand, looking for a job. I've even begun to lie about my age. 37, I say, lopping off 3 years, as if I was some silly woman. They want young men. Did myself when I was running my own agency. The bitterness of failure.
But you're not a failure. You've had bad luck. All you need now is to find an employer...
You've lost my courage.
Oh, no, you haven't. You're still alive.
What do you mean by that?
I knew how near the edge you were when I saw you at that party.
The Jackson's cocktail party. I used to handle their advertising. They invited me out of kindness, I suppose. I was putting on an act of couldn't care less.
But your eyes gave you away. I saw someone else's eyes look like that one.
So you held out your hand to a stranger. And I've given you an awful ear-bashing ever since. It's not like me, really. But it's when one loses everything. And my business was everything to me. Not just money, but all my dreams, my hopes. Then, because of a shabby trick of a rival, suddenly I'm bankrupt. Nothing. Phew, thank goodness I'm not married.
If you'd been married, your wife would have helped you now.
All women aren't like you, Frances.
Any interviews tomorrow?
Yes, the Morris Lambert Agency. The rumor is that Lambert himself wants to go on a world trip and spend some of the money he's made. So he needs someone experienced to lead in charge.
Alan, you'll get it. That's the best news tonight.
You are sweet.
So sweet that I'm going to fetch her some coffee and see what Paul's up to.
Evening, Mrs. Jadwell. Not very full tonight.
Oh, it's been fairly quiet all day. They won't come out in this cold.
Why, the birdcage is empty. Where's Jackie, your budgerigar?
He died yesterday. He was very quiet all day. I covered his cage to cut out the light, but when I took the cover off at closing time,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I missed that little bird. He knew me, you know.
You must get another.
Maybe I shall. But when you're depressed, everything's an effort, isn't it?
That's very true.
You should drink. Nothing wrong, is there, dear?
Thank you, no. No, nothing's wrong.
Must be interesting being a solicitor. Do you get a lot of divorces?
Quite a few.
Oh, I think divorce is terrible.
If two people don't get on together, they're better apart, I suppose.
Well, maybe it's all right if they've got someone else to go to. But suppose they haven't. What are they going to do with themselves with no one to talk to?
Plenty of married people have no one to talk to. How do you do it, Mrs. Jadwell?
Do what?
Turn a quite ordinary-looking little bar like this into a place that feels like home.
I feel so at home here, Frances.
Oh, I'm so glad, Alan. When you're going through a bad patch, to go back to a lonely room at night is about the worst thing you can do.
But this place is home. For everyone, in a way. You know, I do believe that if some old derelict turned up on your doorstep now, you'd take him in.
Oh, I suppose so, if he interested me.
Well, I must go soon.
Well, wait till Paul comes back. He should be back from the local soon.
If I had a wife like you, I wouldn't stir in the evenings.
Oh, there, Paul.
I really must go now, Frances. Ah, hello, Paul. I'm afraid I've been monopolizing your fireside.
Well, not at all, Alan. Any luck with the job hunting?
He's got an important interview tomorrow, so we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Well, good luck with it. Drink?
No, thank you, Paul. I'm just on my way.
Sure, I'm going to.
Yeah, quite sure, thanks. Good night, Frances. Thanks for everything.
Ring me tomorrow. Tell me what happened.
Yes, I will. Bless you. Good night.
Good night, Alan.
And that's that.
Paul, I wish you hadn't gone out.
Why?
It would look more friendly to Alan if you stayed. He's having such an awful time.
Poor old Alan.
You were at the local, weren't you?
I was.
Is that sorry old girl still there?
Mrs. Jadwell, you mean? She's very unhappy at the moment.
What's happened?
Her pet battery guard has just died.
Oh, Paul. I thought you were going to say her husband had died.
She hasn't got one, as far as I know.
Is she a widow, then?
I don't know. I'm not like you, learning about people's private lives all the time.
Then what do you talk about?
No, Frances, for heaven's sake. All right. All right. Now tell me that I drink too much.
Now, have I ever nagged about any...
Sometimes I think I'd like a nagging wife.
Well, that shows you are a bit drunk. There. I've said it. Satisfied?
Sorry.
It's all right. Oh, I'm tired. It's been such a day. Aren't people wearing?
I wonder you don't charge a consultation fee.
Mommy!
That's Anne calling.
Oh, go and see what she wants.
She's calling you.
I'll be up in a minute. And she ought to be asleep.
All right.
And she probably only wants a drink of water.
What is it, Anne?
Is Mummy there?
She's coming. What is it?
I don't feel very well.
Oh, darling. Have you got a pain?
A most awful headache. Please make Mummy come.
Well, of course. She'll be here in a second.
I told a lie. I must make it true. I must give myself a headache. Perhaps if I knock my head against the wall like this.
Anne, what on earth are you doing?
Don't tell her.
Now what, Paul? Bad headache?
Yes, Mummy.
Poor darling, I wonder what caused it. Now, if I sit here on the bed and put my hands on your head like that, and stroke very gently, how does that feel?
Oh, wonderful.
Let's have a good look at you. Seems to me as if you've knocked your head, darling. There's quite a bump here. Do you remember doing it?
I might have done it.
That's what's happened, probably when you and Robert were fooling around with the poker.
Yes. Yes, that would be it.
Now, I'll fetch you a couple of aspirin, then you can lie down and go to sleep.
Shall I fetch them?
You? You'll take half an hour looking for them.
Anne, darling.
Oh, Daddy, don't tell her, please.
But you might have hurt yourself. You must never do a thing like that again.
I won't.
Good night, then, darling.
Good night, Daddy. Ooh.
What's the matter?
You do smell of whiskey.
I'm sorry, I didn't think.
Drink them down. There's a good girl. Oh, Paul, do stop standing around. You're making the place smell like a pub.
He isn't.
Good night, Anne.
Good night, Daddy. I swallowed them.
Good. Now you'll be as bright as rain in the morning. Poor little sore head. Good night, darling.
Good night, Mummy.
Well, Mrs. Gerard, you wanted to talk to me about my daughter.
Yes, Mr. Manning. I don't think you realize how much this university idea means to her.
I think I know Netta pretty well. I've lived with her all her life.
Oh, that's hardly the point.
Let me see, when was it you met her? 2 weeks ago?
When one sees a young girl in distress...
Oh, Netta's a great one for distress.
She wants with all her heart to go to university and study history. And you stand in her way.
A year ago she wanted, with all her heart, as you put it, to go on the stage. The year before that, it was ballet.
Well, of course, bright children are always changing their minds. Mr. Manning, if it's a question of money...
I've got plenty of that, thank you. What I object to is the waste of time. By the end of the school year, Netta can come into my office. I can train her...
And never mind what she wants?
Once. We're different kinds, Mrs. Gerard. Life isn't just a matter of amusing yourself with what you want. I come from the back streets of a small northern town. I'm well known by you and your sort as a self-made man.
Yet you object to Netta's wanting to be a self-made woman. You're afraid of losing her, that's it, isn't it?
I know this higher educational art. It turns your children into strangers.
Nonsense. The way to turn Netta into a stranger is to stop her from following the career that interests her. You can give her no logical reason for your objection, so no wonder she turns away from you. A girl can't love her jailer. You're thinking entirely of yourself.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would. Oh, dear, I haven't got very far.
I'll make no promise, Mrs. Gerard, but I'll think about it. But if in a year's time that young woman wants to be a deep-sea diver or something, I'll lay the responsibility at your door.
Hello? Oh, hello, Alan. Oh, you rang last night? Oh, I'm sorry, I was out. How did you get on at your interview? Oh, my dear. Oh, what a shame. How sickening. Look, come round tonight and we'll talk. Oh, why not? Oh, just a second, there's someone at the door.
Oh, sorry, Mummy, I haven't got my key.
Oh, really, Anne, I was just on the telephone.
Mummy?
Hello, Ellen? Ellen, are you there? Oh, he's rung off. It was important, too.
Well, I said I'm sorry.
Oh, never mind. It's done now.
Oh, what's that roses? Where'd they come from?
Letter sent them.
For you?
Yes.
They must have cost a fortune.
Anne, never judge a present by what it costs.
I wasn't judging it. I was only thinking it's jolly generous of Netta.
Oh, stop arguing, child.
Shall I put them in water?
Oh, yes. Good idea.
I'm later home than usual.
Are you?
We had a rehearsal.
Oh, yes.
When we got to the bit where I had to jump...
Oh, Ellen, do put those flowers in water if you're going to.
Yes, sir. I was just going to. May I do my homework in the living room?
Oh, I'm not sure. Now, go along.
I've gone. I really have.
Ellen sounded so upset. I wonder what I ought to do.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Gerard. I met your husband on the path.
Oh, hello, Netta. Oh, hello, dear.
Netta's been telling me that her father's changed his mind all is well.
I'm going to see Alan.
Now?
Yes, he rang a minute ago. I'm worried about him. I must go.
Go along, then. I'll cope with supper.
I put the flowers in water. Where shall I put them?
Oh, anywhere.
Oh, they're lovely, Netta.
Oh, yes, thank you, Netta. Thank you very much.
You did once say that red roses were your favourite.
Where's Robert?
Rather practice.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll see you all later.
Would you like to stay and have supper with us, Netta?
No, thank you. I only came to... I just came... I have to go home.
Oh, do stay, Netta.
I can't really. Good night.
Good night, Netta.
Well, Mummy might have said a bit more to her about the flowers.
How did the rehearsal go?
Miss Chase only stopped me twice.
Would you like me to hear your lines tonight?
Very much, thank you, Daddy. Robert fools around trying to be a big, strong man with a poker.
And I suppose we shall have to go on poking the fire with the tongs until the play's over.
I don't expect we shall see much of Netta now. Mummy's got Netta's father to think her way. She won't be interested in Netta anymore.
Anne, what a thing to say.
That is true.
Come on, let's go and eat. We'll open the tin.
A big one. Robert will be famished.
Robert is famished. Oh, I could eat a hippo. Where's Mum?
Gone out.
Oh, good. There's a murder play on the telly, Dad. Can we watch it? When we've had supper.
I don't see why not. As long as your mother doesn't come in and want the living room.
Where's Mum gone anyway?
Oh, to see one of her lame dogs, I suppose.
It's good of you to come, Frances.
Alan, I don't wonder you get depressed in this little room of yours. When you get a job, you must move.
If I get a job.
Tell me about the interview. How did you get on with Lambert?
Well, I liked him. In fact, when we were talking, I felt quite hopeful. Well, perhaps I showed it. When you show you care, they tend to think there's something wrong with you.
Did he tell you straight away?
Yes, he's kept a record of my name and address. Said he'd let me know if ever he needed anyone else.
So he still might offer you a job?
Pigs might fly. Florence says you shouldn't have come tonight. I told you I wouldn't be good company.
And your friends want you around only when you're good company?
Friends? In the past, they've been people I've wanted something out of. Or people who wanted something out of me.
And me?
It's just dawned on me how one-sided our friendship is. I've been weeping on your shoulder. You know all about me. But I still don't know much about you. What sort of childhood did you have? Large family?
No, I was an only child. Spoiled and mollycoddled and hated it. I was a rebel in velvet.
Nicely put.
I swore that when I was grown up and had kids of my own, I wouldn't fuss them. Oh, not when they were fit and well, anyway.
What did your father do?
Ran a boarding school for young children. Mother helped him. I was there until I was 11, then I went to the local grammar school. In the holidays, there were always children around, ones whose parents were abroad or who didn't want them. I used to try and cheer them up, make them feel they were wanted.
So you were always like this?
Well, my mother and father used to make me angry. They'd give far more attention to the successful kids or the ones with well-to-do parents. So I tried to make it up to the neglected ones. I hated injustice. I wanted to change things.
And Paul? Was he a cause as well as a person?
I met Paul after the war. He'd been in Germany, helping to clear the concentration camps. Mm,
poor devil. The Air Force had its horrors, but not that particular one.
He was not to sleep for nights on end. And added to that, a girl he was fond of had let him down. He was lost.
And you helped him find himself?
I found out what interested him, the law. I got him working. He'd done very well.
Did you ever love him, Francis?
Oh, of course. But not the sort of love one reads about, this terrific emotional thing that blots out the rest of the world. I've never felt like that about anyone.
Perhaps because you wouldn't let yourself. There's a last minute when one can draw back and make a choice.
Or when something more interesting turns up.
We're two of a kind.
Do you find that people have cared about something you've said or done and you haven't even noticed?
Yes. And feel guilty.
Yes. Yes, so do I.
One hurts feelings without meaning to.
Oh, yes, Alan.
And I don't know about you, but I forget people. Their names, their faces.
Oh, so do I. Isn't it awful? Only the other day, when I went back to my old school, a woman rushed
up. I'd never forget you.
Nor I you.
This is that last minute I was talking about. when one makes a choice.
And draws back.
Oh, you're right, of course. I'll take you out for a drink.
Oh, I'd love that. Only I'll pay.
Certainly not.
And what about the rent?
Oh, I'd pay that when I get a job. You're wonderful, Francis. I thought tonight was going to be one of the worst nights of my life. And instead, it's a beautiful night.
You sound happy.
Oh, Paul, I didn't see you there. Why are you sitting in the dark?
Because I've been here all evening and I couldn't be bothered to get up and put on the light. I want to talk to you.
Oh, that sounds ominous.
It's about Anne.
Another headache?
Oh, no. There's no much point in not having a headache when you're out. I'm very worried about the fact that Anne pretends to be ill because it's the only way she can get you to notice her.
Oh, really? What nonsense.
In time, no doubt, Anne will learn that two can play at the indifference game. And at the moment, I don't like to see her hurt.
I never hurt Anne. And I'm sure she's never pretended to be ill. The other night when she had that headache, I saw the bruise on her head. I saw it.
And I saw her...
Well?
What I've said about Anne is true. You're blind where she's concerned.
Paul, what's the matter?
Have you been with Alan all this time?
Yes. Oh, I wish I could help
him. You do help him. You give him warmth, your interest, the things your family would be glad of. I'm tired of being married to a woman who isn't interested either in me or her children.
Oh, Paul, that's not true.
Last week you talked about Nettle and her father. You've had your victory there, so Nettle is out. Except that I shall have the job of warding the child off when she calls. And now it's Alan, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick to death of all this heart burning over outsiders.
Well, just because I spend some time with another man.
My dear Francis, I don't care a hoot if you and Alan have been making passionate love to each other.
Oh!
Oh, I would have cared once. I wanted our home to be a unity. The world's in a mess, muddle and brutality. I thought at least one could find some purpose in marriage. Two people loving each other. And their children. An oasis.
An oasis, indeed. Oh, yes, that's you, all right. Sit tight and let the rest of the world go to ruin. If anything went wrong in this family, I'd be the one to act, not you.
Oh, if I lost all my clients or went down with TB, you'd be in your element. The wings would sprout, and the martyr's crown be set in place. You're all right with something to fight against, but you can't fight for anything.
If something's worrying you that you haven't told me about...
I'm not talking about worries. I'm talking about companionship. We've lost it, Francis. You live in a world of your own mind. You won't let anyone in.
Well, first you grumble that I'm always letting people in. Then you say I keep them out.
You let people in when you feel like it. You suck them dry and then toss them aside. They're not people to you, they're problems. Afterwards, you can't even remember their names.
And do you remember the names of all your clients? No. You look them up in a file. Well, I don't keep a file. I don't dish out a slab of advice and then write a bill. I help people because I want to, because it's a good thing to do.
And who do you think you are, Florence Nightingale? I'm sorry.
Oh, I hate you when you talk like this.
Good. That's better than our usual blistering state of indifference.
What do you want me to do?
Do?
You've spent the last 10 minutes telling me what a bad wife I am.
Oh, my mistress has let me down.
Oh, mistress?
There she is. This glass of whiskey. A little too much of her and the truth will out.
Paul, there is something wrong. Are you ill? Have you got a pain you can't understand?
A pain that I can't understand. Oh, forget it. I'm drunk, and you're right. I'm jealous of all those people.
But I can't do nothing with my life. I can't. There was a time when you were glad that I'm the way I am. One Saturday night. Do you remember? Do you?
Yes.
I'd never let you down. You know that.
I know. I know.
Of course Mum won't let me down. She promised to come and watch the rug. Imagine she'll come.
Oh, you're an optimist, Robert. She promised to come to my school speech day and she didn't.
Remember when you had measles?
Well?
You might have pegged out but for Mum. The doctor said she was better than any nurse.
But I can't be having measles all the time.
Robert, it's time you were off. You got your boots?
Yes, Dad. I'm going now.
Good luck. We'll be gunning for you.
We'll cheer like mad. Make a try.
I'll do my best. Bye.
Oh, I hope he does score a try.
Isn't your mother back from the shops yet?
No. She should be here by now.
We'll get your coat on, Anne, will you? We must go soon. Hello? Francis. Well, we're waiting for you. What is it? But you promised Robert you'd come and watch his first game.
It's important to him. Well, I'm not saying it will break his heart, but you promised. All right, then. I'll take them both out to tea afterwards. Goodbye, Francis.
We don't need her, Dad.
And don't.
You know what you saw me doing the other night? When I said I had a headache?
Yes.
You didn't tell it, did you?
No, I didn't.
I'm glad. And you needn't worry about my ever doing anything like that again. I don't even want her anymore. And rainbow ice cream, too.
I adore rainbow ice cream. Which color do you like best?
I like strawberry.
Oh, vanilla. Which do you, Netta? Well, the green, I think.
Oh, very sophisticated.
I think I like the green best, too.
I like two ice cream.
Oh, you're just a gut. How's the play going, Anne?
We're hurting like mad.
I'd love to see you.
Then you must come with Francis, Robert, and me.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Gerald.
She may not be there, you know, so don't bank on it.
And, of course, your mother will be coming.
Oh, she'll say she's coming, and something will crop up at the last minute, just like today.
But Mrs. Gerald did mean to come to the match today. I saw her at the shops this morning. That was when I asked if I could come, too.
And she didn't turn up, and you wasted your time.
Oh, poor me. No, I enjoyed it. And when you scored that last try, Robert, I nearly cheered myself hoarse.
Netta, are you doing anything after tea?
Nothing special.
Then come to the cinema with us. Robert wants to see the Western at the Regal.
I'd love to.
What about your father?
He won't mind a bit.
Oh, well, I'll go and ring him. Say we're looking after you.
Will your mother be in tonight?
Oh, I think so. But Mr. Pierce will probably be there, too. Mummy's a dead loss, you know.
Oh, your mother's one of the kindest, most...
Anne's squared up because Mum doesn't fuss over her.
I am not, dear. Is it my fault? Have I been taking too much of your mother's time?
Not you especially, Netta. If it hadn't been you, it would have been someone else. You're one of the nicest we've had, actually. Isn't she, Robert?
I wish you'd shut up.
Well, Mummy let you down. I told you she would. I was beastly of her. I expect she decided to have a long talk to Mr. Pierce. We just don't seem to matter to her, Robert. Just Mr. Pierce does.
I've been longing to tell you, Francis. As soon as I heard Maurice Lambert's voice on the phone, I guessed, and I was right. The chap he offered the job to had a better offer from another firm. So he turned Lambert's down, and I was next on the list.
Oh, it's wonderful, Alan. I can't tell you how pleased I am. We must celebrate. Let's read Paul's whiskey supply.
I'll be doing that rather too often lately.
Nonsense. Paul fills the drink. He won't even notice.
Ah, the ways of the well-off.
Well, now, you're going to be well-off.
Here's your drink.
Thank you. To you, Alan. May you be successful and happy.
Thank you. And to you, Francis. All my gratitude for helping me through a very bad patch.
You will let me know how you get on, won't you?
Yes, but... Well...
But what?
I've been coming here too often.
Surely that's for me to decide.
You'll be far too kind to give me the cold shoulder.
What you're really saying is that I'm all right when you're down in the dumps, but now you want something more exciting.
You know, that's not true. I find you very exciting. It's a trouble.
But I... We're friends, Alan. The other thing didn't come into it.
No.
All right. Go now, if that's how you feel. I expect you have work to do now that you've landed this job.
As a matter of fact, I have. I must sacrifice a certain amount of my leisure time to do it.
I don't quite see you as the self-sacrificing type.
And I don't see myself as a married woman's plaything. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean to hurt you.
You hurt me? My dear Alan, how could you?
Try to understand.
I'm getting rather tired of trying to understand people. It's such a one-sided business. First Paul, and now you and...
Paul?
We had a row.
About me?
What an egoist you are.
But it was about me. Tell me, Francis. You've listened to my troubles often enough.
I'm not like you, Alan. I don't pour everything out to the first listening ear that happens along.
Touché. Goodbye then, Francis. Thank you again for all your kindness. Don't know what I would have done without you.
Oh, but don't go yet. I hate being alone.
Where is everybody?
I expect Paul's taken the children somewhere after the match.
And they'll soon be home. And they'll want to talk to you without that wretched man hanging around.
Oh, but you're not. You never were.
Darling, don't. Francis.
Helen.
Bye, darling Francis.
I will miss you.
I miss you too. But I'm not coming back. It wouldn't work.
I know. But if ever you're miserable, if ever things go wrong again, you know I'd always...
No. There's more to you than a shoulder to weep on. It's time you realized it yourself. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Anne.
Francis? Oh, where's Alan? I thought he'd be here.
He's just gone, Paul.
Hello, Mrs. Gerard.
Hello, Nessa.
Nessa came to the match with us, then to tea and the pictures afterwards. We well had a fabulous time, haven't we, Robert?
It was a super film.
Robert, I'm sorry I couldn't come to the match.
Oh, that's all right, Mother.
No, what would you all like to eat?
Nessa's going to make us omelets. We're going to have a kitchen party, so we shan't be in the way, Mummy. Come on, Robert, let's go and set the table.
Don't you order me about, Prince Arthur.
Well, Netta, how's the geography, history, I mean?
My father went to see the headmistress. She's making the arrangements for me.
Well, that's fine, isn't it, Paul?
Yes, excellent.
Alan's got a job with the Morris Lambert Agency.
Really? He must be pleased.
Netta! I'll be back waiting!
I'm coming!
Please excuse me.
He's a different person already. Paul, I'm sorry I missed the match. I really couldn't come.
It didn't matter.
Daddy!
Coming, darling.
Paul?
Yes?
Nothing. It's all right. Go on.
Mr. Gerard, this is my father. Dad? Mr. Gerard.
How do you do?
How do you do? Oh, nice of you to see Netta. Oh, Mr. Gerard.
Oh, I told him he needn't.
But it's been a great pleasure. It's not often I get the chance of escorting a beautiful young woman.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, well, I must be off.
Oh, thank you for a perfectly fabulous day, Mr. Gerard.
No, thank you. My kids can be quite a handful, and you were a great help. Good night, Netta, Mr. Manning.
Good night, Mr. Gerard.
Good night. Netta, was Mrs. Gerard with you today?
No. She was busy.
You've been going to the Gerrards a lot lately.
Yes. What's wrong with that?
You're sure it's Mrs. Gerrard that you go to see?
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, Dad, but he's old. He's nearly as old as you are. Oh, Dad.
Hey, love. What's the matter?
So funny, you thinking that. But it never even crossed my mind. Dad... She looked through me, as if I wasn't there. As if she hardly recognized me.
But she's shown such interest in you.
Well, she's not interested now. It's like a shutter going down.
That wretched woman.
No, don't. I wish I hadn't told you.
I'm glad you did. I know what that sort of thing's like. It itches your pride.
I'm not proud.
We all are, love. Look, this university business, if you only went with it because it was her idea...
Oh, no, Dad. No, I still want to go. I think interesting work is much more reliable than people, don't you?
It's something that doesn't chance and let you down. My work's been a godsend to me. As for your Mrs. Gerard, it strikes me that people are her work, in a sense. And so they've stopped being real persons to her. I feel rather sorry for that husband of hers.
Hello, Paul.
Alan, I didn't know you patronized this dive.
Oh, I don't usually. And I should be at home working.
Can I buy you a drink?
No, thanks. Just got this one. But, look, do join me.
Francis tells me you've got a job.
Yes, that's right. Advertising agency. Like the one I used to run myself. Only, of course, I shan't be the boss.
I expect you will one day, Alan.
Ah, now, look, don't tempt fate.
How right you are. Keep your deepest desires hidden away. Because if they find out, they'll be down on you like a ton of bricks.
They?
The gods, the fates.
No, I shall never get back to where I was before. That little pipe dream was shattered, all right.
Ah, well, in time we all walk on the ruins of our dreams, don't we?
Paul?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say something you may not like about Frances.
Well?
Don't neglect her. Well, she's lonely. When a woman's lonely...
Frances, lonely?
Huh?
My dear Alan, you must be blind and deaf. Our house gets more like a railway station every day. A succession of arrivals and departures. The travellers bring their luggage, their burden of their troubles, and they lay them at my wife's feet. And she picks up the burdens and stows them on the train. Then gives the travellers a shove in the direction of the train and waves them goodbye. So they'll be tidily out of the way before the arrival of the next lot. The railways has missed a good thing in France.
And I still say she's lonely. It's nothing to do with having people around.
Alan, artist people are bound to be lonely. No one can reach them. And who is the lonelier? The one who is unreachable or the one who tries to reach and fails?
I'd better go home and get some work done.
We probably shan't meet again, Alan. I have a feeling that Francis has put you on that train.
No, Paul. I got on it myself. Good night.
Goodbye, Alan. Good luck with the job.
Thank you.
Shall you and I have a quiet nog in, Mrs. Jedwell?
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Gerard. I'll have a stout as usual. Same again for you.
Yes, please.
There we are. You'd like to see him, I expect.
See whom?
I've got the birdcage covered up. I didn't want him to be nervous his first night in a new place and all, but I'll uncover it so you can look. There. Isn't he pretty?
A new budgerigar.
Didn't you know?
No, how could I?
Well, your wife got him for me.
Frances?
Now, fancy her not telling you. I met her at the shop, you see, and she got hold of my arm and marched me into the nearest pet shop. I nearly cried. Kindness does something to you, doesn't it? You can stand other things. Hardness, rudeness, the ordinary things. Then suddenly someone's kind. They've got no cause to be. And it breaks you. Well, you know, I was very upset, so your wife came back here with me for a drink and a talk. Do you know, Mr. Gerard, your wife's the first person I've been able to talk to about my husband since he's gone? Ah, it did me good to talk. Your wife's a lovely person. A lovely person.
Yes, I know.
He can sing, this one. Sing for us. Come on, sing then. Ah, there you see.
Francis.
It's a lovely record, isn't it? Full of longing and things out of reach.
Yes.
It's a long time since I sat here alone and just listened to music.
I've just seen Mrs. Jedwell, Francis. It was a very kind thing to do.
The bird, you mean?
Yes. She said she'd been able to talk to you about other things. I was reminded of that other Saturday, many years ago. If you hadn't come to my lodgings that night, well, I was all set as a would-be suicide.
I don't think you would have.
I would, if you hadn't come. And then there would have been none of this little world we have here. No Robert, no Anne. And lately I've been bullying you because you are what you are.
But what is that? Oh, Paul, what's wrong with me? The things you said the other night, they were true. And when you came in with the children today, it didn't matter if I was there or not. I felt like a ghost. And tonight, I've been alone here.
Why didn't you go up to the children?
Because I trained them to be self-sufficient. I've even stopped saying goodnight to them.
Then why don't you go up and do that now? Tell Robert how pleased you are that he's scored that winning try.
But did he? No one told me.
And tell him about Mrs. Jedwell.
No.
He'd be interested. Robert is very much your son. I wouldn't be surprised if he took up some sort of social service. As for Anne...
I feel shy with Anne now. She seems to expect... Well, I'm not quite sure what...
Interest and affection, that's all.
I'd do anything for her.
Then go upstairs and kiss her goodnight.
She'd think it's so odd.
If you just went in, she'd fling her arms round your neck and half-strangle you.
All right. All right, I will. And, Paul, things will be different from now on. Forgive me.
I still love you. Didn't you know that?
Paul.
Now, who on earth...
Oh, I'll answer it. Hello? Oh, Margaret. You mean you've left him for good? Well, of course you can come here. Yes, we'll have a long talk. Right, see you in an hour's time. And cheer up, darling. Goodbye. Poor Margaret, she's in such a state. She wants to come and stay with us for a bit. You don't mind, do you? She needs me. Oh, poor Margaret, I know exactly how she feels.
Surely...
She can have the spare room. What a terrible time she's had. She needs someone to talk to.
Yes, indeed.
What are you doing?
I'm having a drink. Any objections? Aren't you going to say goodnight to the children?
Oh, it's too late now.
Yes, it's too late now.
You'd better go up to bed. I'll let Margaret in when she arrives.
Good night.
Daddy?
I'm coming.
What's happening?
Oh, Anne. Now come back to bed. You shouldn't be wandering about in bare feet.
Please come with me.
All right. There. Now back into bed.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
Mrs. Gooding's coming to stay. You remember her?
Yes. I didn't like her very much. Still, they never last long, do they? It cuts both ways. The nice ones go, and you miss them. And the nasty ones go, and you're glad. Do you know what I'm going to do as soon as I'm old enough to leave school?
What?
Get a job and leave home.
What about me?
You can come with me. Let's do that. Let's look forward to it. It's something. Robert will stay with Mummy. Yes, that's what we'll do, Daddy. That's what we'll do.
Perhaps we will, one day. Good night, darling.
Good night, Daddy. Oh, I do love you.
I love you, too. Good night.